Get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam, a charming man who infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video.
The Jason Lee Podcast.
Welcome back to all new episodes of the Jason Lee Podcast. Oh my God, it's such an amazing day wherever you are. I hope that you're having a blessed day. There's something percolating outside. Not outside where you at, outside where the celebrities are at. I keep hearing this thing that people are afraid to come on the Jason Lee show.
It was all a lie.
I don't know why people would be afraid to come on the Jason Lee show unless you either were slipping and sliding in baby oil at Diddy House and landed on a dildo, or if you somehow were in the car with, anyway, unless you have a skeleton that you think I'm going to pull out the dirt. I don't think anybody that's ever watched the Jason Lee show has ever left feeling attacked, crying, or feeling some type of way. Even in my Whoa Vicky interview years ago, when I asked her about her using the word nigga, and they were trying to stop me from asking the question, I had to check everybody in the room. We were able to get through that conversation. When Boom Gang pulled a gun on me in the beginning of an interview, I asked them politely, please put your gun away so we can finish the interview. And we did. I've never had an interview. Kelly Clarkson never had anybody pull a gun on her.
No.
Right. Steve Harvey. No. It's just not typically the thing that happens. No. But that's the kind of thug life we have at our show, because we're willing to do whatever it takes, even risk our own lives with those type of people in order to deliver shows for our audience. Here's the deal, what I know for sure, right? We are a brand that scatters the entire internet when we talk to people. So it really is, it does give an artist or a celebrity or whatever the promotion that they need to sell some of the stuff that none of us really want. But I know that sometimes the delivery in this show, TikTok, do your thing, can scare people. But we're a brand that's all about lifting people up when we do our interviews. And sometimes we have to have hard conversations. But I just find it really interesting that everywhere I go, now, in the last month, people have been saying how scared they are. But we do have really good shows of the Jason Lee show coming up, and we have really great guests scheduled. One guest I will go ahead and throw out there that we have scheduled for March. Where's it at? Whoopi Goldberg. Mm-hmm. I mean, Whoopi Goldberg. Whoopi Goldberg is somebody who we've grown up watching. She's an icon. She's been in films that will live on forever. She's been a mentor by virtue of just being chosen to many people. First Black EGOT, as you know, we honored her at the Impact Awards. And anyway, Whoopi Goldberg is going to be coming on the show soon. So, you know, we're excited to continue to grow. And we want everybody out there, including all of you celebrities, to know we are just an extension of you with a twist. Okay, well, listen, I know that you all are here to get straight down to it. So let's get to the tea with Jason Lee. Right. Our good friend Wendy Williams is in the news, and Wendy is out here talking conservatorship. Now, all of you know my relationship and history with Wendy Williams. If you don't know, let me give you a quick summary. She walked so I could crawl. That's basically it. Nobody that does what we do on God's internet, Beyonce's internet, she's still her internet. Is this her internet?
Yeah.
On Beyonce's good internet, God's good Google. Or anywhere in the sphere of radio that does what I do, that's a critic, a culture critic, or that has an opinion. Nobody would be doing this if it weren't for a Wendy Williams. She was one of the first, if not the first, to do it. And she had a really successful career. And everybody knows that in today's time with the Diddy Gate, everybody would want to hear Wendy talk about whether Diddy did or didn't do it. Well, I talked to Wendy this morning while I was getting ready, and she told me again she believes he did it, and he's going to jail forever. But anyway, we would want to hear her say it because she would deliver it any the way nobody could. And in many ways, you know, when I was in the trajectory of figuring out how to get the Jason Lee show, I was, in many ways, following in her footsteps. Then I got sober and got into therapy, and then I kind of went adjacent because if I burned the internet all the way down, then there would be no room for anybody else. Well, Wendy is now resurfaced. As you know, I got really close to Wendy, ended up on her show many times, became a really close friend, and then she was ripped away from me and everybody else. Well, everybody's been asking, where is Wendy? Well, we finally heard from her. Let me give her a round of applause. We finally heard from her. And last week, when Wendy Williams stepped out from the shadows of the dungeon they have her handcuffed in, or tied to a bed or whatever, I don't know. None of us know because they won't let us in. The last time we heard from her before last week was all the way back in November of 2024, when her guardian, Sabrina Morrissey, claimed the media icon's alleged dementia battle was worsening. And if you remember when that news came out, all of us thought that Wendy had lost her mind. And there was a day where I was a little emotional because I was like, what if Wendy forgets me? And it's kind of weird because when you look up to somebody and then you emulate the steps they take to build a brand that is doing great for me, doing great for my team, and providing so much entertainment for all of you who are cheating on your break at work. You know, she made us think that Wendy was somewhere dying, shriveling up and forgetting her son and her friends and all this and that. Well, it was alleged that Wendy was cognitively impaired as well and permanently incapacitated. These were allegations coming from the person that's been put in charge of Wendy and her money. But now we've all learned that
it was all a lie.
Let me show you, just for the sake of making sure we contextualize this person, a picture of Sabrina Morrissey. This is Sabrina. Now, this ain't the best picture of Sabrina. She looks like a scoop of country crock butter. If you were to stick a spoon in it and pull it out, that's what it looked like. Well, Sabrina is an attorney in New York City. She does.
She kind of is very yellow, mm-hmm. That picture.
Very.
At the beginning of the year now, our friend Charlamagne Tha God gave a health update on Wendy. Here's a photo of Charlamagne. And what he said. He said, quote, "She's perfectly fine. Wendy sounds like she could do radio tomorrow if she wanted to. I don't know what incapacitated means in regard to dementia or whatever it is they said she was dealing with, but no, there ain't nothing incapacitated about Wendy Williams." Well, Charlamagne, I have to say, you know, it's, again, really interesting because Wendy put Charlamagne on. Charlamagne, in many ways, helped put me on. And like all of us, now he and I, the bookends of her career kind of helping her now. And so he and I have been talking almost every day, every other day about this, and he made sure to put me in touch with Wendy. So I thank you, Charlamagne. 2 weeks later, after Charlamagne had released that statement, the Breakfast Club interviewed Wendy and her niece, Alex Finney. This is what I love about the interview. This is not about was her in his interview better, my interview better, because in most cases when an artist goes on a show or somebody goes on a show, we all look at each other's shows and go, damn, did they do a better job there? Did they do a better job here? Did they give more to them or did they give more to me? This interview for me and this interview for Charlamagne at the Breakfast Club was all about keeping Wendy's name and the Free Wendy movement going. So there was no competition because I would interview Wendy Williams every day singing the ABCs or 1, 2, 3s or whatever, the alphabet song, in order to keep her voice out there because that's what this movement is about. So Charlamagne at the Breakfast Club interviewed both Wendy and Alex, and both claimed that she was not cognitively impaired. I also spoke with Wendy and Alex in an exclusive interview that we shared on Hollywood Unlocks YouTube. If you haven't seen it, you can go over there and look at the whole thing. It was about 25 minutes. But if you missed it, here's a small clip of Wendy speaking about her being held hostage in this hostage-like conservatorship, her guardian, and how she wants to work again. Listen.
I mean, the one thing that I know for sure is that you loved two things. You loved your show and your audience, and you loved your son. And to me, the way that you disappeared, there's no way in heaven or hell you would have left your son that way. And when I called him to ask him how you were, he was terrified to even have a conversation with me. So it gave me this perception that you were almost being held by terrorists. When you talk to Sabrina Morrissey about getting out, what does she say?
Sabrina Morrissey says anything to keep me here because Sabrina's making money from me, you know? And she told me that there's no money. And that's a lie. You know, you're not going to be with somebody for 3 years and not make money from me, especially the several million that I know that she has holding me hostage. Like, my money. Like, I have, like, $15. And that's all I've had for 3 years. You understand
what I'm
saying?
In terms of her wallet right now, physically on her, mm-hmm. Jason, is what she's saying. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Excuse me, in my Goyard wallet. Like, labels are important, darling. but literally, and all of my stuff is in storage. I sold my apartment, which I wanted to do that too. Sell my apartment and live in Miami and be with my family and relax in Miami. And yes, I would like to work again in Miami. But simple work. And that would be something where I could even ask Alex, what do you think about if I do this? And I only want to do it like once a week, or what I'm saying. I got my son a car for his graduation from college, and it had to be approved by my guardian person. It's like my money is my money. If I want to get my son, any car in the world, I've got the funds, and it's for my son.
So when you hear that, what do you think?
That she needs to be with her family. She always sounds like she's not impaired, like she's fully aware of herself. She always sounds extremely healthy when she's with her family or right after she leaves time with her family. So obviously she is thriving in those environments, and them keeping her locked away without access to her money is just ridiculous to me. It's obvious that someone is using this as a livelihood for themselves.
She sounded conscious to me. She's talking about how she wanted to go to Miami and chill and maybe work once a week. Like, and you can tell it was like she was like a bottle of Sprite and you just like ripped the bottle open, and she was just going on. You could tell she was so happy to talk to you.
Yeah, and our conversation was very personal. So that way, and the reason why I did it that way, unlike like the way I interviewed the people at City Hall the other day, that was like Law and Order. You can go take a look at that. This was more about like asking her things that would jog her memory to watch how she responded. So me and Wendy had this joke where one day we were on the phone, and I was like, Wendy, I need to go mainstream because I got us. And she said, well, you need white friends. So I'll give you one of my white friends if you give me one of your white friends. And the white friend I wanted was Kelly Ripa. And then the one she wanted was Madonna. And then you ripped her away before I could get to Kelly Ripa. And now I haven't been on Kelly and
Mark.
Rob's in love with Kelly's husband. So clearly he knows who
I love
is.
Both of them.
He's hot. But I wanted to be friends with Kelly Ripa. Anyway, they ripped her away and that didn't happen. So I asked her that during the interview. You got to go listen to it. And she laughed about it because it was a funny moment. But that was one of the things to just kind of, kiki with Wendy. And the thing that I will say is, Wendy had her demons. Drugs, I never saw Wendy do drugs. And I mean, I've been in and around Wendy many times. Now, sipping.
Who hasn't?
No.
Am I right?
Wendy and I never got that drunk when I was around Wendy when I drank at the time, because I couldn't, because she did it for both of us. But she lost her husband. Her son went to school. She was a cat lady in her apartment, in her own words, and she was alone. And, that can do something to some people who are going through their things. But anyway, it now sounds like she's super clean and healthy and focused, and it didn't sound like dementia to me. And the other thing that Charlamagne brought up that I thought was a really good point is dementia isn't something that requires the court to take all your money, take you away, lock you up. That's craziness. Dementia is a diagnosis that then progressively gets worse over time. And if you have millions of dollars and a family that loves you, you have enough money and resources to have people take care of you. So we just seen through the bullshit. Well, Wendy also detailed during our interview her living restrictions and denied being cognitively impaired. She also said she ain't been laid or had a man. Y'all gotta go listen to the interview, but this is what she said about that. Listen.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that, first of all, Wendy, I miss you and love you, and everybody, you may not see this, is talking about you online and wants to know why they have not freed Wendy. People love you, people miss you.
Have you ever tried to call me and I can't answer? Have you ever tried to?
Absolutely not. In fact, I was telling Alex, you and I would talk almost every day. I would come and see you every time I'm in New York. We would have a great time, and you are always attentive to me, and we would have a great experience. And so I've been so confused at this entire process. And Alex will tell you, Alex, I've called you multiple times and Kevin asking what is going on with Wendy.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know what? This has been a really, you know, like I flew to Miami from New York, you know, for my son, you know, he finished, you know, college, and, you know, and I was there in Miami for 9 days. This was, you know, about a month, less than a month ago, you know what I'm saying? We had a great time, you know what I'm saying? The family, I mean, we did so many different things, and this guardian person, can't stand that I had such a great time. You know what I'm saying? It's like I'm in prison. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, no, Wendy, I don't know that she's mad that you had a good time. I think she's mad that we now see that you're not incapacitated the way that they've told the media, that you're not, that you've lost all of your mind. You don't know where you are. I mean, the way that they've communicated to the world is almost as if you don't even know who you are. You sound better than ever.
I mean, does she sound incapacitated and full of dementia?
Not at all.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of crazy to think that somebody can actually take you, seize control of your money, take you, just take you away from your family and lock you away. I'm telling you both right now, if you let that happen to me, you're fired.
What? Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, I won't remember because they'll say I have dementia. But just make sure you don't let this shit happen.
I watched both of my parents, two of my grandparents, two of my four grandparents go through dementia. That is not what it looks like.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or sounds like.
Let me tell you about something I've never, ever said. One of my first jobs years ago, I worked in a care home. Like, not a care home, in-home support, helping people. I did it for probably like a week.
How was that?
One of my clients had dementia, and he would get up and put newspapers in the stove, like in the oven, which is sad, you know, you think about it. But I'm like, hold on, I try to sleep at night on the job, and I can't sleep if you're going to burn the house down. It wasn't for me. It takes a special person to do that. Now I'm over the city who deals with in-home support services. So I'll be a better advocate. Well, if you want to hear more about that interview, go over to Hollywood Unlocked's YouTube channel and listen to it. Now, after Wendy spoke with me and The Breakfast Club, where she sounded perfectly fine to all of us, Roberta Kaplan, a lawyer hired by her guardianship team, claimed that she was still suffering from frontal lobe dementia, a neurological disease with no cure. Why these people are releasing her HIPAA information to me, I don't know. But maybe we do know. And maybe it's... Roberta told TMZ that because of this diagnosis, the state court found Wendy unable to make legal and financial decisions on her own, and that because of the degenerative nature of the disease, she will require care for the remainder of her life. Firing back at her guardianship attorney, Wendy told TMZ, see, Wendy knows media. So Charlamagne put her on the phone with Harvey, and this is what she told TMZ. How would she know that? I've never met Roberta Kaplan, and I have never talked with her. I'm so isolated and locked away in a luxury prison. So much for the Me Too movement. In addition to Wendy's questionable guardian and guardianship attorney, it was also reported that her guardianship judge, Lisa Sokoloff, was once under a 6-month investigation for
allegedly
granting guardianships to attorneys, law firms, and other groups and entities that contributed to her Supreme Court campaign between 2019 and 2022, Judge Sokoloff allegedly raked in $5,720 in donations and handed out 62 guardianship appointments in just 2022 alone. This is the same year that Wendy was placed into a conservatorship with lawyer Sabrina Morrissey, who Judge Sokoloff appointed after Wells Fargo freezed up all of Wendy's money. Now, here's a disclaimer. While the investigation into Sokoloff showed Morrissey didn't donate to her, the judge still awarded her several guardianship positions that same year. Let me tell you something, Sabrina Morrissey. We're going to keep your name in the news. We're going to keep your name online. I've heard through the grapevine that you've received several threats, several death threats. People want to kill you, Sabrina Morrissey. Hold on a second. Do your thing, TikTok. We don't encourage threats of death or murder or any of those things. But you got to be careful because you just never know what's going to happen these days. You saw the murder of the CEO from the healthcare, United Healthcare, happen in broad daylight. Sabrina, I'm not going to pray for you. I'm going to say be very careful because what you're doing to a human being who's loved by millions of people, you know, could backbite you. It could backfire and it could create a problem for your safety, as you've been telling people. Well,
allegedly.
Good luck. Or not. We love you, Wendy. All right. Now, TikTok, they're in the news because they pulled off a whole Trump stunt. That's what I'm calling it. TikTok had the whole world up in arms for less than 24 hours when they went dark over the weekend. Now, influencers were even out here holding funerals and repasses. People were crying. People were having nervous breakdowns. I've seen more people having nervous breakdowns over losing TikTok than their neighbor who's going to be deported even though they were born in America. Y'all can talk about that over the water, over at the water cooler. Now, y'all TikTokers were out here really doing a lot, but TikTok and Donald Trump were the ones who actually were doing the most with their little stunt. Now, if you've been living under a rock, Congress gave ByteDance, TikTok's Chinese owner, until January 19th to sell it to sell its 40% stake in the company to a third party in the U.S. or an ally of the U.S. But let's be very clear. Donald Trump started this whole history of banning TikTok way back in the day. Then it came full circle to Biden wanting to get rid of TikTok, but leaving it up to Trump, who then said he's going to save TikTok. It's the same thing he did when he did the whole STEMI check signing, saying that he was going to give you all the money when it came out of the U.S. Treasury after he fought it. He's been tricking y'all, but y'all so dumb TikToking it, y'all don't know. Rob probably going to say that in a minute, so I'm going to do that. That's Rob's thing. Now, it's important to note that while Joe Biden signed the bill banning TikTok again, that Donald Trump, he was the one that introduced this idea, because it was a Chinese-owned app and platform that he didn't want interfering with his election back in 2020. So when Biden was getting all the hate for it, many people forgot that Trump was the one that actually introduced this. Now, it's designed to make him look like a hero and to also distract us while there's over 1,000, I don't even know how many executive orders have been signed at this point, screwing over everybody watching this show right now. Now, fast forward through all that. So Rob, when you hear that, Marina, what y'all think? Did you see the breakdown everybody was having?
I did, and it was annoying because if people were paying attention, they would know, like you said, this was a massive stunt on the behalf of the Republican Party. Again, it was in 2020 that Trump introduced this bill. Of course, Biden signed it because Trump was no longer in office. And then the Supreme Court, which is Trump's Supreme Court, upheld the ban after Biden said, I'm not going to enforce it. I'm going to leave it to the next administration to deal with. So there would have been no ban. The app did not have to go away, but it was a stunt for Donald Trump. So it's ridiculous.
But it was clear that it was a stunt because his name was in the, when they were like, bye-bye, but hopefully hold President on, Trump. Hold on,
this was the message that went out to America, all there of America, on January 18th. Look, we regret a U.S. law banning TikTok will take effect on January 19th and force us to make our services temporarily unavailable. We're working to restore our service in the U.S. as soon as possible, and we appreciate your support. Please stay tuned. Well, it also says we are fortunate that President Trump has indicated that he will work with us on a solution to reinstate TikTok. Now, let's be very clear how dangerous this all is. Mm-hmm. Okay, that came out the day after, less than 24 hours. China is not a democratic country, first of all. And Trump is loved by the Chinese, and Trump wants to be a dictator. And so this little stunt was marketed to about 170 million people. So it makes 170 dumbasses, million dumbasses, believe that he's the savior of the day because nobody's going to do enough research. All they're going to say is, Trump gave me back my TikTok. How do we get this dumb as a nation? How do we get this dumb that we can be tricked out our own bag as Americans?
All I know is that the night that it went dark, I FaceTimed Kaylin. And God forgive me, but I know that Kaylin has had deaths in her family since I've known her. I've never seen one tear fall from her face. This bitch was boohooing, like all her whole family
got up. She was not crying.
Sobbing. I have screenshots. Like tears? Yeah, no, like red face screenshots.
Give the screenshots to Johnny. But this is Kaylin. Put them in the show. Wait a minute, crying for what?
Because that TikTok was gone. Because she's like, what am I going to do with my life?
And they were all being so dramatic, trashing TikTok on their phone. Now they can't get it back on their phone. I'm like, you guys, just pay attention. That's the problem.
What has America become? Like, did not lose one night's sleep. In fact, I just started TikToking the day before. So I was like, damn, all of that effort. It took me like 5 years to do one TikTok. And now you're going to take away? I just threw my hands up because maybe it wasn't meant to be. Well, less than 24 hours, it was back. So Kaylin wiped her tears off and probably went and did a whole DIY or DYI. Do it yourself tutorial on makeup. Well, right?
Yeah, but it's gone forever for me and a lot of people who.
Because you deleted it. Well, your dumb ass should have knew that stunt was going to come back.
Because, like, in a relationship, too, once it's done, bitch, bye, erase, and I'm never looking back.
I never delete, like, I don't ever delete the next day. You let it cool off. I deleted
the night of. It was gone. And so now
you're out of TikTok.
Yep. Unless she buys a phone for $10,000.
Yeah, they're selling the phones for $10,000 on eBay if you have a TikTok on your phone. Kaylin sent it.
Well, I would have to clean out my iCloud first. Oh, so if I have TikTok on my phone, I can sell for $10,000?
Mm-hmm. And if you have CapCut, it's worth even more. So clock that.
Oh, I still have CapCut. Mm-hmm. Oh, but they can't use CapCut. Yeah, they took CapCut too. Well, listen, TikTok began restoring access to its American users, thanking President Trump and welcoming users back to the platform. Let me show you their post. Of course, they put a statement out. Welcome back. Thanks for your patience and support. As a result of President Trump's efforts, TikTok is back in the U.S. Effort. Listen, China, y'all, I know you can't see this because they probably banned YouTube in China. Because you can't, they banned
social. Absolutely.
Their country's smart enough to ban apps from our country that can shift their narratives. Mm-hmm. Yet we're dumb and TikToking our lives away and allowing them to make us even dumber as a nation. But whatever, I'm not on TikTok. That's Marina and Kaylin. Well, that morning, Trump also claimed that he would be giving TikTok an extension and also proposed that if they did not find another owner, they should allow the U.S. to take 50% ownership to keep operations going in America. This is a photo of Trump's TikTok proposal. I'm asking companies not to let TikTok stay dark. I will issue an executive order on Monday to extend the period of time before the law's prohibitions take effect, so that we can make a deal to protect our national security. The order will also confirm that there will be no liability for any company that helped keep TikTok from going dark before my order. Americans deserve to see our exciting inauguration on Monday, as well as other events and conversations. I would like the United States to have a 50% ownership position in a joint venture with China. What is going on?
You see who was sitting front row center at his inauguration. Well, it's all the billionaires who own all of the information platforms where the majority of Americans get their news and information from. Mm-hmm. So this is just part of the plan because they can control the information that's fed to Americans. Free speech.
Well, since then, Trump has been sworn into office. And on day one, he reneged. Well, since then, Trump's been sworn into office, and on day one, he reneged on the 90-day extension, instead giving TikTok only 75 days to find a new owner or sell 50% to the U.S. Here's what he said.
TikTok is worthless, if I don't approve it. It has to close. I learned that from the people that own it. If I don't do the deal, it's worthless, worth nothing. If I do the deal, it's worth maybe $1 trillion, So if I do the deal for the, I'm talking about doing it for the United States. If I do the deal for the United States, then I think we should get half. In other words, wait, I think the U.S. should be entitled to get half of TikTok. And congratulations, TikTok has a good partner. And that would be worth, you know, it could be $500 billion or something. It's crazy. The numbers are crazy. But it's worthless if I don't, if the president doesn't sign, then it's worthless. If the president does sign, it's worth maybe $1 trillion. So I think, like a joint venture, I think we would have a joint venture with the people from TikTok. We'll see.
Y'all voted for this. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to, you know, when I think about everything that he's done, two gender rule, doesn't affect me. T.S. Madison, what you doing? You using your platform to warn America? Because even though we know transgender isn't about sex, right? Mm-hmm. It's about identity. It's the narrative building that's deflecting everybody from everything else and confusing people because people don't really understand. Rob does because he tells me everything gay. A immigrant. It don't affect me. Does it affect you?
Personally, no, but my family, yeah. My whole community, everybody.
But now with the Birther Act, if you were born in America to immigrants, you can be gone too.
Correct.
So that's like, let me just give your whole family a one-way ticket somewhere, and you of a country you probably never even been in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can go on and on. Abortion rights don't affect me. Equal opportunity rights and protections, they're taken away. I mean, I own my own business, and I have a diverse team, and I'm going to always promote diversity, taking diversity out. I mean, all the things that he's doing doesn't affect me, but it does affect me as part of humanity. And that's the thing I hope everybody gets back to, that it's not just about you. It's about your neighbor. It's about your family member. It's about who your family member loves. It's about who you fell in love with. It's just about the world that you want to live in. And I get it. You don't want to go to a restaurant where your kid sees boy, girl, tea. What bathroom is that? Okay. Well, it's not all about your kids. Your kids ain't looking at the trans, wanting to wonder if they're a trans or not. That's just things to gaslight people into being afraid of diversity and inclusion. So I just pray that our people become a lot smarter, because we, gay, woman, black, brown, we're not the enemy. These policies are really dangerous. And all of the people who are climbing up the Capitol, the woman that got killed trying to get in there, the police that got hurt, if you haven't seen any of these documentaries, all those people are free now, one of which just got arrested on gun charges like two days after he got arrested. I know what message is being sent to America. Fuck democracy, right? Just follow this guy. Dangerous place. In 4 years, I'll either have made changes in my state or my city, and won and did a lot of good things, and then picking what country to go to. Because I'm sorry, I gotta leave y'all here. Hollywood Unlocked is a US-based business. The CEO can live wherever. All right, but no, and all jokes aside, dangerous, right?
Very.
But why did people vote for this?
I say it, and I'll continue to say it extremely loud. People did not want to see a black woman in power. And what's ironic to me is the inauguration was on Martin Luther King Day, and he wanted to say, oh, you know, we want to make sure that policies are judged not by the color of your skin, but the content of your character. And clearly he was elected based on the color of his skin and not the content of his character. This is a man who had 34 mm-hmm. felony counts, but he was voted in over a brown person, which is crazy to me. So he was voted in by the color of his skin.
Orange is the new brown.
You know what?
Anyway, bye TikTok. I'll see y'all later. I'm going to post. All right. Donald Trump, still in the news. His second inauguration has got a lot of people up in arms, and he's officially been sworn in as the president. But his inauguration festivities is the thing that went viral days before. Now, notably, the people who participated, Nelly, Snoop Dogg, Rick Ross, and Soulja Boy. Now, the latter of the three went viral and were called out for their performances at the Crypto Ball, which Trump didn't attend but was held by his supporters during inauguration week. Now, what was most interesting was a resurfaced video of Snoop calling black people jigaboos and Uncle Toms around Trump's first inauguration. Now, again, I'm just delivering the news. I am not. Everybody's been asking me online, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? I'm going to tell you, but right now it's just I'm delivering the news. I have not told you what I think. It was Nelly, Soulja Boy, Snoop Dogg, and Rick Ross. Here's a video of Snoop on Trump's first inauguration.
So ain't nobody going to perform for Donald Trump, huh? Which one of you jigaboo-ass niggas going to be the first one to do it? I'm waiting. I'm going to roast the fuck out one of you Uncle Tom-ass niggas for doing it. Which one of you going to do it first? I'll be the one that performs for himself.
I like how you both look to me to say something completely reckless. I ain't going to say anything, because I don't think I need to. Right?
Nope.
I don't need to say anything but just deliver the facts. Why do I have to say anything? It's right there.
He said it.
You know, I'm going to say something though. Because here's the deal. Unlike Nelly, who, I mean, when has Nelly had his last hit? He probably needs the money. He has a baby on the way. Mm-hmm. I mean, Kamala didn't hire him for the road. So why not go get the bag? Soulja Boy, I don't know his financial state. I mean, I just saw him in Detroit. He has some money, but you know, who knows? On one hand. On the other hand, we have to think about how we're feeding black people. Because as an entrepreneur, if Trump called me today and said, Jason, Vice Mayor, I'd like you to come meet with me at Mar-a-Lago. I'm going to send a jet. I have this contract for you for $5 million. Do I say no because the culture said I can't? That's where your values have to come in, right? Like, okay, this $5 million is against everything I stand for. Or is it? It is. No, it's not. Okay, why is it? That's the conflict people are going through. And in today's economy, when things are rough, people are negotiating with their bank accounts whether or not they take a gig. I know Kamala Harris's campaign paid us to do some advertising for them, and they overpaid. So some of these political checks can be a lot bigger than, say, a bag from going to perform at the L.A. Slauson Swap Meet. I'm not saying that that's where Nelly performs. I'm just saying if there's a stage there, he could be booked. Well, Snoop, on the other hand, you were just at the Olympics. We love you.
He's like, a coach on The Voice.
You're a coach. You're already in, you know, on The Voice. You're giving a voice to the voiceless. You're our Uncle Snoop.
Yep.
And then you just called out Uncle Tom, but then you... Did he become one?
One what?
Uncle Tom.
Oh.
But you know, I've been seeing like a lot of people posting things like Tupac would never. If you want to be a person who advocates for your people, mm-hmm. like sometimes you got to, you know, make the hard decision and pass on something that's not beneficial to your people.
But Snoop and Tupac are different people. Mm-hmm. Tupac was a activist for Black people and Black culture. Snoop has never been that. But Snoop has been from the hood and, you know, he represents us. But Snoop is also not Tupac mm-hmm. in terms of advocate, right, or activist. So I get it. But at the same time, we as a culture, we voted him in. So y'all gave your free vote away and you mad because they get in the bag. Let me play devil's advocate. You know, what? Why are we mad at them? I'm not going to counsel Snoop because he went and got a check. I can side-eye him because he said that the Uncle Tom tap danced at Bojangling and then he went over and Bojangled on the ones and twos. But I don't know the decision that went into him doing that. I want to ask him, you know. Well... Meanwhile, Nelly was immediately called out after ABC News reported that he was performing at one of Trump's three inaugural balls. While speaking with rapper and podcaster Willie D, Nelly defended his choice to accept the gig. Listen.
I thought you was riding with me because I put on for my city and I try to bring my city up every step of the way. I did not know you was riding with me because you thought I would ride for who you voted for. I didn't know that. I apologize. I apologize. I didn't know that I had to agree with your political choices, and I thought it was the things that you do, not the things that you say should be done. If you follow what I do, this shouldn't even be an argument. He's the president. He won. This isn't a campaign. This isn't an RNC. I'm not out on the political campaign. I didn't get none of that 1.5. You see what I'm saying? Like, to try to help somebody get voted.
Kamala didn't invite you to perform?
No. She didn't invite me. But I don't knock the one that did. I don't knock the brothers and sisters that benefited from it. I'm not doing this for money. I'm doing this because it's an honor. I respect the office. It don't matter who is in office. The same way that our men and women, our brothers and sisters who protect this country, have to go to war and have to put their life on the line for whoever in office. So if they can put their life on the line for whoever in office, I can damn sure perform for whoever in office.
Nelly, comparing you to the men and women who have the courage to go and put their life in danger to protect our freedom and protect democracy, and you singing Apple Bottom Jeans, please don't. That was the dumbest thing I heard. Now, that right there, I will say was dumb. Because, you know, they can't change who the CEO of their business is because they don't have the board of directors decide that clearly, because I don't know if the voters did this time around. Well, maybe they did, huh? I'm trying to help you, Kamala. I don't know. No, but think about it, right? The men and women of this country need to be given more respect than that. They don't control who's at the head, right? You can't control if you go in apple bottom jean your ass across the stage at an inaugural ball. But again, let's just say you needed the bag and the bag was available and the bag was probably big and you did it. It's okay. You sold out for a night and now you're back. Or did you sell out for a night? That's the debate. Did he sell out?
Yes. And I'll say this. Donald Trump made it very clear his position on having Black people work for him. The number of Black people who tap dance for him before he was inaugurated is greater than the number of black people in his cabinet.
Well, we know they keep you in the field, never bring you in the house.
It make sense.
But I don't think these people needed to make sense because all they care about is the money. Well, as the backlash continued, Nelly doubled down as he spoke with ABC News the night of. Listen.
It's not political for me. For me, the political part is over. He won. And, you know, growing up, I was taught to respect the office. So, you know, Nelly's here.
And you did get a little backlash, but yeah. you were like, whatever. I don't care. I'm doing what I want to do. This is I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but you were really cool about it. You handled it well. You came forward and you talked about it. A lot of people wouldn't do that. Why did you come forward and talk about it?
Well, because I think it's important that, you know, we show some people have their own opinions about things, you know, and sometimes things can get a little bit hazy and in a way that everybody feels the same way about everything. And that's just not it. I think certain people have an outlook. And I've always believed that you got to walk through the fire sometimes to get results. And regardless of what you feel about it, we as a people, and I mean, you know, my heritage as far as being African-American, we've always had to work with people that we may not have always agreed with to get things done. And I think that struggle continues. But at the end of the day, if the men and women of this country can put their life on the line for a president that they may not have voted for, I can definitely perform for the office.
The criticism against Nelly born Cornell Hayes Jr. Was so bad that his decision even affected his wife, Ashanti. Fans called her out, and a longtime running fan page of hers even shut down in protest, claiming they were no longer keeping up with the Haineses. Take a look. Ashanti News. In light of recent news about Nelly and the decisions he made, I can no longer run Ashanti News or support the Haines in the direction they are going. It is beyond disappointing. For over 20 years, it has been amazing connecting Ashanti fans around the world and sharing news, videos, and photos. I will miss all y'all a lot. Take care. Now, when the fan page is shut down, you know there's a problem. If the Beehive fan page is shut down, pack it up, Jay. Well, following the rapper's supporting Trump drama, Inauguration Day soon arrived, and it began on some bullshit. When attendees booed former President Barack Obama on his arrival, soon enough, Trump was sworn in, and social users were quick to point out that he didn't place his hand on the Bible as he took the oath of office. Take a look. President Donald Trump did not put his hand on the Bible while being sworn in. Shit's about to get very unholy. Now, as a matter of process, shouldn't they have called him out on that and said, put your hand on the Bible?
I think so, but they're not going to say anything to him.
Why?
They're all afraid of him.
So is this Hitler 2.0?
I mean...
Well, speaking of Hitler... Yeah. Elon Musk, the head of Trump's newly created DOGE, which is like Dogecoin. Mm-hmm. You can't even make this up. Mm-mm. The Department of Government Efficiency was accused of making Nazi salutes. Take a look at the video.
Making it happen. Thank you.
Did that look like a Nazi salute to you?
1,000%. Twice.
And nobody's mad about it. And nobody's mad.
And people trying to give excuses like, oh no, it was this, it was that. Like, it's clear what that was.
It's very clear. And the fact that like right-wing activists and white nationalists are championing what he did tells you everything you need to know. And meanwhile, black people are like, maybe he didn't mean that. He said giving love to people. Why are we making excuses for the man? He didn't even ask for an excuse. He did it and he stood in it.
Has he talked about it?
I don't think so. I haven't heard anything from him. I know everybody else is making excuses like he's autistic.
Mm-hmm. Now, as promised on day one of his second term as president, Trump signed a slew of executive orders. Reportedly, he signed close to 100 orders, with at least 78 overturning those previously signed by Joe Biden. Of the orders, Trump is making federal workers head back into the office full time, and he's attacking DEI programs, proposing layoffs, and revoking a 60-year-old equal employment order in government contracting. Elsewhere, Trump's new Justice Department has put a freeze on civil rights litigation and suggested it may reconsider police reform agreements made after the George Floyd and Breonna Taylor case. Now, on day one, Trump also attacked birthright citizenship, which 18 states and two cities have already challenged with lawsuits. And he attacked the LGBTQ plus community with Bishop Marianne Edgar Butt pleading with Trump to have mercy on them and the migrants. Take a listen.
Let me make one final plea, Mr. President. Millions have put their trust in you. And as you told the nation yesterday, you have felt the providential hand of a loving God. In the name of our God, I ask you to have mercy upon the people in our country who are scared now. There are gay, lesbian, and transgender children in Democratic, Republican, and independent families, some who fear for their lives. And the people who pick our crops and clean our office buildings, who labor in poultry farms and meatpacking plants, who wash the dishes after we eat in restaurants and work the night shifts in hospitals, they may not be citizens or have the proper documentation. But the vast majority of immigrants are not criminals. They pay taxes and are good neighbors. They are faithful members of our churches and mosques, synagogues, wadara, and temples. I ask you to have mercy, Mr. President, on those in our communities whose children fear that their parents will be taken away, and that you help those who are fleeing war zones and persecution in their own lands to find compassion and welcome here. Our God teaches us that we are to be merciful to the stranger, for we were all once strangers in this land. May God grant us the strength and courage to honor the dignity of every human being, to speak the truth to one another in love, and walk humbly with each other and our God for the good of all people, good of all people in this nation and the world. Amen.
Now, that was a very heartfelt message that she sent to the president, and this was his response. The so-called bishop who spoke at the National Prayer Service on Tuesday morning was a radical left hardline Trump hater. She brought her church into the world of politics in a very ungracious way. She was nasty in tone and not compelling or smart. She failed to mention the large number of illegal migrants that came into our country and killed people. Many were deposited from jails and mental institutions. It is a giant crime wave that is taking place in the USA. Apart from her inappropriate statements, the service was a very boring and uninspiring one. She is not very good at her job. She and her church owe the public an apology. Y'all voted for that. Trump's also declaring a national energy emergency, enacting orders to secure our borders, restoring the death penalty, withdrawing the U.S. from the World Health Organization, restoring freedom of speech, and ending federal censorship, plus a lot more. Now, Trump has also granted some controversial pardons and commutations to the January 6th Capitol rioters. Remember, those were the people that were climbing up the Capitol like Spider-Man, and people got hurt, including police officers, by the way, including the leader of the Proud Boys, Henry Enrique Tarrio, whose mother confirmed Proud Boys is coming back, plus another thug, Jake Angeli Chansley, who planned to celebrate his freedom by buying guns. Look at what he posted. I just got the news from a lawyer. I got a pardon, baby. Thank you, Mr. President. Now I'm going to go buy some motherfucking guns. I love this country. God bless America. Now, if Jake and Henry's mom's reactions aren't proof enough that these thugs are still violent, just 2 days after being pardoned by Trump, another J6er was rearrested on gun charges. Now, before his pardon, Florida resident Daniel Ball was accused of assaulting police officers and tossing an explosive device into a Capitol tunnel on January 6th. That's America. The only thing I can say is, y'all voted for that. All right, get it sexy. She's in the news because she's being slammed by Bernice King, the daughter of slain civil rights leader and activist Martin Luther King. Now, the news just keeps going down, 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 down. But here we are. This year of all years, Donald Trump's inauguration fell on Martin Luther King Day, and a lot of you weren't happy about it. I posted something on social media that got lots of people responding, where Dr. Martin Luther King was telling Donald to hush in a cartoon. Well, MLK Jr.'s youngest daughter, Dr. Bernice King, came for everybody disrespecting him. And this typically happens every year because somebody does something stupid to disrespect an icon like Martin. Well, one of these people was St. Louis rapper Sexy Red. Now, but before slamming Sexy, Bernice sunk her claws into politicians and folks like Reverend Lorenzo Soul, who quoted Dr. Martin Luther King during his prayer at Trump's inauguration. I saw this thing go viral. If you missed it, here it is.
We're asking you not only that, Let freedom ring from Stone Mountain, Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and every molehill in Mississippi, from every state, every city, every village, and every hamlet. And when we let freedom ring, we will be able to speed up that day where all of your children, black men and white men, Protestant and Catholic, Jew and Gentile, will be able to sing in the meaning of that old Negro spiritual, free at last. Free at last. Thank you, God Almighty. We are free at last. If you believe what the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Come on, put your hands together and give your great God great glory.
There just are some stages that you just don't need to be on. That would be one of them. It was the white people in the background laughing at you, just cooning and just looking just stupid. I don't know who you are, never seen you before. You and your gums can pack it up and find somewhere else to go. You know, it's things like that. You know, it's one thing to say we have to accept that Donald Trump is the president, and now we have to figure out a pathway to work with him that doesn't allow us to set aside our character and our integrity. That right there, I don't know how much was involved with you in terms of payment to be there doing that, but I had third party embarrassment for you. I felt embarrassed as an African-American watching you perform that way. And it was watching their faces behind you laughing at you because they knew what you were saying was some bullshit. Well, Martin Luther King's daughter, Dr. Bernice King, had this to say about that. To every politician, the next time you quote my father, let it be in support of voting rights, civil rights, or human rights, or in support of eradicating racism, poverty, and war, or in support of reparations, a livable wage, or ending police brutality. Listen, Bernice has a lot more coup than I do. I don't know how to say that when I see that, but you can say what you think about it in the comments. When you see a video like that, what do you think? Is that just coonery at best?
It's disgusting because you sat there and plagiarized Martin Luther King for the sake of the man standing behind you who literally right after that stripped away everything he could that has been done over the course of 60 years to try and level the playing field for people of color, to try and make America more digestible for people in the way that Martin Luther King would have wanted it to be. So for you to stand there and do that while Donald Trump smirked at you, like, look at my little black man pandering for me. It was disgusting.
That's why I'm like, just read the room, because it was a room full of white people anyways on Martin Luther King Day at that. It's just crazy.
Well, now Sexy Red is getting a little bit because she was called out by Dr. Bernice King after posing an AI image of her and MLK. Here's Dr. Bernice King's response to Sexy's post. She said, this is intentionally distasteful, dishonoring, deplorable, and disrespectful to my family and my father, who was not here to respond himself because he was assassinated for working for your civil rights and human rights and to end war and poverty. Please delete. Sexy appeared to have only posted one photo, but it was taken from this AI video. Take a look. So I'm not sure what she was fighting, because she would have been fighting civil rights in that matter. Well, Dr. Bernice soon caught backlash for blasting Sexy's post and clarified her attack. Take a look. She said, please don't project your thoughts onto me. I don't believe Sexy Red to be a degenerate, ghetto, or trash. I have spoken out in the past about the use and comparison to either of my parents to denigrate other people. I just don't understand this type of use of my father's image on MLK Day, no less, in a way that does not convey what we know to be true about his service and sacrifice. Even if you disagree with him or with his tactics, or even believe things said about him by people who hated him, why do this? I mean, I think that was a fair response. I mean, her father was killed as a result of fighting for all of our freedoms. Her mother, who is also equally iconic, who stood by him at a time where half of you won't stand by your baby daddy if he comes home from the store too late. You know, this is a generation that does not understand or respect the legacy of icons that paved the way for all of us to have the freedoms that we are giving away today. So Sexy eventually apologized, and this is what she said. She said, you ain't wrong. Never meant to disrespect your family. My apologies. Just reposted something I saw that I thought was innocent. Well, let me give Sexy a round of applause for at least apologizing. Because she could have had her hands on my knees, hand on my knees, or whatever else she does. But she didn't. She apologized. And, you know, again, I think there's just a major disconnect between this generation and all of what people fought for and sacrificed to get here. To think about it, you're growing up as a kid, your house are getting firebombed, your father's getting assassinated, your mother's getting death threats, you're getting death threats, probably can't go to school because everybody know your daddy's the one trying to free the blacks. And so I just think there's just a disconnect and a lack of humanity. But I mean, that was a distasteful post, but she didn't make the AI, somebody else did. But to reshare it, I could understand why it would make her feel a certain way.
But also too, I think she just shared that screenshot because I saw the photo go up and I thought they were like slow dancing, like waltzing. I didn't know it was a video of them fighting and duking it out. I don't even know if she thought that, but she took, I feel like she did the right thing. She took ownership.
Yeah, and this is why I keep saying it's so important that people stop saying, oh, black people need to stop living in the past and da 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 da, because we are slowly forgetting the history that was not that long ago. Like, we need to continue to honor these people who fought for us to be in a position we are today. And if we keep like moving in the direction we are, it's just going to completely go away, especially since they're trying to remove that from school.
Well, and think about it. Who do we have as civil rights activists to fight for us after these people pass on?
None.
You all are in trouble. I'm finna just lock myself in the house. Well, I'll be out in the streets of Stockton as the vice mayor. But other than that, every other thing around me, I'm going to let you all burn it down, because what I know for a fact is that people are just disconnect. There's something not going to the penthouse in your minds to tell you that this is all not registering as things that make sense. It's Dr. Martin Luther King Day. On a day where a president is being inaugurated that has created a big division in the world. So just within that, there's something there. And instead of saying we're so excited to make this all about Martin Luther King, y'all are out with the AI videos hotboxing with the slain civil rights leader. I don't know. Either way, Bernice accepted the apology, and this is what Bernice said. She said, thank you for your apology, which I sincerely accept. Please know that it was not my intention that you be denigrated. I value you as a human being. I hope you understand my concerns about the image. I know that my father has become a bit of a caricature to the world and that his image is often used with no regard to his family, his sacrificial work, or to the tragic, unjust way in which he died a state-sanctioned assassination. Unfortunately, I regularly challenge the disregard. I earnestly wish that people would imagine what it would feel like to see their deceased murdered father repurposed for party flyers, unjust legislation, etc. All the best to you, young lady. A state-sanctioned assassination? What does that mean? Is she saying that it was orchestrated from the government?
Yeah.
Didn't Trump say he was going to unclassify the murders of Malcolm X and Robert Kennedy Jr.'s father?
He just made that announcement today. Mm-hmm. I think he said that he's trying to do it. Yeah.
So is that going to show that the government had something to do with that?
I hope so, or they're going to try and...
But that would just make more people trust him and not trust the government, because they're going to see the government kill their leaders. Hands on my knees. Hands on my knees. You know, I was in a club once, Sexy was hosting here in L.A., and I was looking around the room as everybody in there, her age group, were rapping every single lyric to her song. And the songs are, you know, they're good trash. Not like trashy songs, no good, but like they're good, but the lyrics filthy. Are just filthy. That. Yeah. And I looked at my friend and I said, this is why Kamala Harris lost. Because this generation knows more about Sexy Red lyrics than Kodak Black. And the Black Attack, then they do civil rights history, legislation, how to be active. And the sad part is that elections have real life consequences. Mm-hmm. And so, like, while we all haven't felt everything yet, y'all gonna feel it. We're pulling out of the World Health Organization. God forbid another pandemic hit. So all of y'all right now that don't have your soups lined up and your water and your paper towels, the ones that he threw at the Puerto Ricans, you don't have your businesses intact. If another pandemic hits right now, the way that they are pulling out of all of the WHO and not believing in vaccines, good luck. Good luck. Me, Gucci, and Chanel are going to be in the house with masks on. I'm not even going to let Yvonne come over and clean up anything, because I don't want nothing to come over. Why? Because it's going to be another slew of mass murder, because that's really what that pandemic was to me. One of my sisters ended up dying of COVID. So, I mean, I hope that you all know that while we're entertaining you with these topics, that we're actually dropping gems. You need to do your research. Go look at all the legislation that has been passed over the years that just got signed away in one sitting by the person that y'all voted in office. And y'all performing at the inauguration. I can't. Just go ahead. It's really sad to report on all this. Mm-hmm. Do you all watching even care? Like, do you all even care? Do you care? I mean, you care about gas prices. You care about how much groceries cost. You care about the fact that there's no snow on the ground in New York during the winter. You care about all these things, but all these are connected to decisions made by the government, the FDA, the climate change, like the climate crisis. Yeah.
To what you just said, literally the price of eggs, they just made the comparison, is $2 higher than it was at this point last year. And yesterday, the Trump administration told all health agencies to stop reporting on the bird flu until further notice, which is in March, because they know that there's more information coming out about the spread of it. So they were told to stop sending out information to citizens about the bird flu as of yesterday.
Y'all voted for this. For real. You know, the only thing keeping me in America is that I'm the vice mayor of Stockton. If I was not the vice mayor of Stockton, Johnny would be producing this show via over the water, because I'd be somewhere else where by day I could be at the beach with beautiful, 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 fill in the blanks.
Dogs?
Yeah. And by night, I'd be doing this. But, you know, I've committed to at least 4 years, maybe eight, maybe the rest of my life, I don't know, to change my community. But again, in all jokes aside, elections do have consequences, good or bad. You know, right now, Stockton is like, yo, this is a good consequence because we're cleaning it up. We're getting things on track. We're moving things forward. This right here is there's going to be lots of bad consequences. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even saying from a perspective of like change is bad. Change is good. You know, if Donald Trump came in and said, look, we are going to protect our black and brown people by making sure that there's fair practices, all those things, I would be like, yeah, okay, cool. I go over there to the barbecue. Man, you go over to the barbecue, you might catch swine flu, egg flu, chicken flu, one flew over the cuckoo nest. I don't want it. No flus. All right. All right. There's a $500 million lawsuit over this documentary. And I'm going to tell you right now, guess what? I'm siding with Chris Brown. We honored Jonathan Majors at the Hollywood Unlocked Impact Awards last year, saying that we believe people are worthy of redemption. Chris has been worthy of redemption for a long time. Now, he's had a lot of issues in his life, as a lot of us have. We just aren't in the public eye, especially under a magnifying glass such as a young icon like this. Chris Brown has taken legal action against Warner Brothers, Discovery, Ample, and the producers behind Investigation Discovery's documentaries, Chris Brown, A History of Violence. Chris claims it's filled with falsehoods and defamatory content that accuses him of multiple physical and sexual assaults over his two-decade career. Wait, where is it at? I got so many buttons here. Chris claims the production team is promoting and pushing baseless claims against him even after he
allegedly
provided evidence disproving their narrative. Now, the October 2024 release docuseries focuses on a lawsuit against Chris Brown filed by a Jane Doe accusing him of drugging and raping her on Diddy's yacht in 2020. However, Chris asserts that Jane Doe has been repeatedly discredited and points out the fact that her lawsuit against him was later withdrawn due to the lack of merit. Now, he also denies being guilty of any sex-related crime and condemned the documentary series for labeling him a serial rapist and a sexual abuser. Now, Chris is reportedly insisting that producers disregarded facts in favor of sensationalism and prioritizing fame and fortune over the truth. And he says that he's been taking accountability for his past mistakes and he's been working tirelessly for a decade to rebuild his image and growth as a person. But now, the docuseries has caused significant harm to his career, reputation, and business opportunities. And as a result, Chris Brown is suing for $500 million in damages, which he partially plans to donate to victims of sexual abuse if he wins. Let me say this. Number one, and I'm talking to you, Christopher Brown. No, don't donate any of the money. Take your kids anywhere they want to go around the world. Go buy you some more shoes. You have enough shoes and clothes already. Buy a jet and go around the world one time, just having fun. Don't go on any dates. And just live your life a little bit. You know, I feel like it's great that you want to donate some of the money, and you should donate some of the money. But the fact that Chris is saying that he wants to use this opportunity to help people who have been in situations that are unfortunate, I think deserves us to flower. You know, I've known Chris a long time. I'm not his friend like I used to be, because, not for anything other than we've just lost contact. I think I've reported on the show at some point. I ran into him at Diddy House, the regular party. And we embraced and hugged each other and talked and caught up, and he was very nice. And, you know, it was cool to talk to Chris again, because Chris, underneath the layers of what he's put on himself and what the world has put on him, is a really good kid. And he's a grown man now, but, you know, he's a father, he's grown. And people go through and get through things. I don't know why Chris has allowed the world's weight of wanting to control his narrative to get to him. He went through that battle, I'll say,
allegedly,
of drugs. And having seen him up close now, he looks clean, he looks healthy, he looks happy. I've been watching some of his interviews because I'm manifesting that Chris Brown relationship again and interview. And Chris deserves, in my opinion, to be left the fuck alone. You know, and I just want to say that the one thing I think about every time Chris Brown comes up is that it's almost like you're re-victimizing Rihanna too, mm-hmm. because you're continuously putting this narrative out there that drags her name into it. And I can tell you, she's not thinking about any of that. That's not this. That woman is not living in the abuse you want to force her to remember every time Chris Brown hits the internet. I do want to highlight he recently was in Africa, 90,000 plus people in the audience cheering for him, which I'm sure made him want to move there. And this is another indication where if you're white, you could become the president. And if you're black, they'll drop a documentary and just tarnish your name. What do you think? Do you think Chris should be left alone?
1,000%. And I'm so happy he's fighting back. And I'm happy he's alive, because I feel like this is the type of stuff we were talking about last week with like Twitch, where like all these bad things come out of people and like accusations and they're passed away. They can't defend for their name. They can't like prove themselves. And now he's like fighting back and being like, no, you guys are lying.
I agree. And I think I actually think it's good that he wants to donate some of the money, because in my opinion, when we, you know, push for people to have redemption, a part of that is them, you know, acknowledging the mistakes they made, whatever, mm-hmm. you know, all that comes with it. And I think this is a part of him acknowledging that, you know, he made mistakes, he's moved on. And I think we need to let him live his life and stop bringing this up constantly.
The Bible says, just ask God for forgiveness. It doesn't say ask God for forgiveness and donate your lunch money.
But if he,
it doesn't say it doesn't say ask God for forgiveness and write your third check every quarter to whoever you let down. People have to stop trying to guilt this man into giving away what God gave him. Half of these people that are mad at him can't even get a box lunch or a Lunchable. And you know what's so sad is that the rules this year, let's make the rules apply to black people would apply to white people. How about that? How about we just make the same rules apply to all? Because there's nothing he can do. He's already apologized to Rihanna. She's accepted it. Mm-hmm. They did a song together called Ain't Nobody Business. And you still are talking about it. She's moved on, had two kids, got a man, great career. She's launched a $1 billion brand. This man has moved on, and we're still talking about it. If he killed himself, he'd be an icon. Mm-hmm. Like, that is the sick world we live in. The fact that he's even saying he wants to give some money away is great.
That's what I'm saying.
No, I get it. That's great. But there should not be an expectation. Chris, go spend all your money. Spend your money on your kids. Spend it on your mamas. So you can spend some in Hollywood Unlock. Spend your money on the things that make you happy. I want to see Chris Brown, before I die, enjoy his life. I want to see him enjoy his life. It would be unfair to go his whole life treated like this. And I hope he wins.
Yeah. We absolutely should not continue to judge people by their worst moment. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, it was so long ago.
He was 19.
Yeah. And for him, this may be something for him that makes him feel better and able to move on. That's why I'm like, I think if you want to donate the money, donate it. I think that's great. But I don't think it should be forced upon.
Donate nothing.
Let's just hope he wins that money, period.
I'm speaking.
You know, why don't they let him do a concert as a benefit?
Yeah.
And raise money. You know, that's what he would love.
The albums are still out.
If you sue them, let me tell you what you do. You get it all paid to you in $1 bills. You fill up your house and you swim in it and you make a video. That's what you do. That's how you make your haters mad.
Then somebody gonna try to run up in his house and rob him.
They already have. Remember? Tied up his aunt and all that. Put her in the closet. Okay. Chris Brown, call me. Let's go spend it together. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you.
Y'all can get matching outfits.
Yeah. That's gay. All right. Anyway, bye, Chris. All right. Listen, it's time for thoughts and prayers. It's official, y'all. Agent Orange is back in the seat as promised, and he came in like Miley on that wrecking ball and just started effing things up on day one. He said DEI, bye. Criminal justice reform, gone. Gays and migrants, adios. The only people he's standing with, open arms for those that are thugs who storm the Capitol. Criminals just like him. Well, unlike Nelly's song, Just a Dream, Trump is president and Nelly doesn't care that he's an alleged white supremacist.
Allegedly.
Don't want to get sued. Wonder what he has to say about Elon's alleged Nazi salute. I mean, if Trump's not attacking minorities, he's seemingly extorting China as he insists on owning 50% of TikTok to keep operations in America. And speaking of shady business, we finally heard from the Queen. Not that one. Queen Wendy, who's stuck in a corrupt conservatorship and needs our help to get her out. Free Wendy!
Allegedly.
No, for real. Free her. We're shouting it from the mountaintops like MLK. Oops, sorry, Bernice. Don't come for me. Look, we love and respect the King family over here, and we're glad to see that Sexy put her big girl panties on and apologize. Get it, Sexy. This show's going down. And when it comes to Chris Brown, let that man live because he has made his mistakes, paid his dues, and has been forgiven, especially by those who actually matter. And now, he's out the way making music and touring. He's consistently denied all the other allegations against him and has said cases were dropped due to no merit. So let that man make his money and live in peace because Trump is out here convicted and everything for y'all. And y'all made that man the leader of the free world. Lord have mercy on us for the next 4 years and beyond. I'm out of here. I have nothing else to say besides follow me everywhere. And keep coming back because this show is amazing. Bye.
The Jason Lee Podcast.